So Much Blood, a thriller serial in six parts, adapted from his book by Simon Brett, starring Francis Matthews as Charles Paris. Part 3, First Lunch. Actor Charles Paris is presenting a one-man show on the fringe of the Edinburgh Festival under the auspices of the Derby University Dramatic Society, known to its members as Duds. At a photo call for one of the student productions about Mary Queen of Scots, Willie Mariello has been stabbed. Charles is not convinced that the death was accidental, and to help in his investigations, enlists the aid of James Milne, owner of the house in which the university actors are staying.
So what exactly do you want me to do? Crawl around the rooftops with firearms, beard villains in their dens? I'm not sure that's quite my style.
Now, all I'm asking you to do is address your mind to the problem. To be a kind of sounding board for my ideas.
I think a Ouija board for contacting Willie Mariello might be more useful.
Yes, you're probably right. Come on, James. What do you say to the idea?
Well, Charles, I'll be delighted if I can help. But I have to say right from the start that I don't share your certainty that a murder has been committed. Why are you so convinced that the stabbing wasn't an accident?
I'll call it instinct.
And do the police share your instinct?
I don't think so.
Good.
Why good?
Well, when we reach our dramatic unmasking of the villain, we don't want to be pipped at the post by Inspector Flatfoot of the Yard, do we?
You mean you agree?
Yes, I'll be your sounding board. Could be fun.
Ah, thanks, James.
Right. So where do we start?
Well, suspects, I suppose.
And how many have we got?
Oh, think of a number.
Well, who's been acting suspiciously?
I suppose the most suspicious must be that boy Martin Warburton. Do you know him?
I think I've seen him around.
In a very strange mental state. Just finished his finals, and I'd say pretty near a nervous breakdown.
And wasn't he the
one? Yes, he actually stabbed Willie. He was holding the one real knife.
So he is the obvious suspect.
No, except that he's too obvious. Now, I've just read that play he's written for the Derby lot. Quite ghastly. It's full of bombs and violence. But I'm sure that's all just fantasy. No, he's too intelligent to commit murder like that in such a public way. Anyway, he had absolutely no motive against Willie.
Still, it would obviously make sense to keep an eye on him, see what he gets up to. And I can do that quite unobtrusively. I'm well placed here at the top of the house to see everything the Duds do.
Oh, if you could, that'd be great.
Of course. But, you know, I have a feeling we're approaching this problem from the wrong end. We should start by working out who did have a reason to kill Willie.
Yes. Right, well, nobody seemed to like him much, but that's not a reason for murder.
No.
Now, I suppose we'll just have to check out everybody he was involved with, emotionally, artistically or financially. So far, I've only been able to uncover one secret in his life.
What's that?
Well, on Monday, the day before he died, Willie had a woman round at his house.
Not his wife?
No, Jean was away.
Then who?
That's the trouble, I don't know. I just have a report that he called out, "Goodbye, darling," to somebody upstairs as he left for rehearsal.
Worth investigating. And what about Jean herself? If Willie was off with other women, hell hath no fury and all that?
No, she was away when he died, down in Carlisle, so she's out of the reckoning.
And she and the mystery woman are the only people up here with whom Willie seems to have had dealings?
So far as I can find out, yes.
Oh, Charles, there's someone you've overlooked.
Is there?
Yes.
Oh, good Lord, yes. You?
Yes.
Yes, the house.
Exactly. I have a very direct financial connection with Willie Mariello. He bought my house. I think I should go down your list of suspects.
Oh, but that's daft, James. I mean, I know house purchase can lead to a lot of bad feeling, but not to murder. Anyway, if you were the murderer, you'd hardly draw attention to your connection with your victim, would you?
Ah, Charles, I may look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under. Mustn't rule out any possibility. And what about you, anyway?
Me?
Had you any motive to murder Willie Mariello?
No.
Good. Now we know where we stand. Incidentally, how long have we got to complete this major investigation?
Well, I finish up here a week tomorrow.
Right. Well, I'll keep my eyes and ears open. Let's hope we're not defeated by time.
No, I'm very tied up for the next 24 hours. There's some press reception down at the Fringe Club this evening. Then I'll be rehearsing till my show opens tomorrow. Still, once that's out the way, I'll have time to scout around.
And what will be the first thing you scout around for?
The identity of the woman who was in Willie Mariello's house last Monday.
Look, does anyone else want a badge? Come on, anyone else who's going down to the Fringe reception, I've got the badges. And I'll make sure you take lots of handouts.
Sam, perhaps I better have a badge.
There you are.
Thank you. Actually, I'm not sure it's good for the confidence, is it? Going around wearing a label saying duds.
Press have to know which group you're with. It's all publicity.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, I could certainly do with a bit. The show opening tomorrow, I haven't seen one of my posters anywhere.
I stuck up a whole lot more this morning.
Trouble is, no sooner do you stick one up than another group comes and pastes their poster over it.
Oh, I know, Anna, it's terrible. Too many groups on the Fringe, really.
Yeah.
Look, anyone else want duds badges? Handouts? Everyone got lots of handouts?
Hello.
Hi.
Any chance of meeting up tonight, after this reception?
Please.
Spot of dinner somewhere? Yes.
Please. Then back to the flat.
Oh, please. If you like, we can walk down to the reception together. I was just off.
No, I've got to get changed. Into my Mary Queen of Sots gear. Another of Brian Castle's great publicity ideas.
Oh, well, the principal's right. All shows need publicity. Actually, he hasn't done badly so far. He's got the story about you stepping in as understudy to Leslie Petter. Then, of course, there was Willie's death.
Yeah, he's played that for all it's worth.
And Brian does seem to be totally insensitive, though, doesn't he?
Totally.
What is he going to do after he leaves university? I mean, where would insensitivity on that scale be best deployed? Advertising? Television?
He just had an interview for the civil service.
Yeah, that figures.
Hey, Anna, what's this about Brian wanting us to go to reception in costume?
That's what he says, Martin. Wants maximum impact for publicity.
Well, he can stuff it. I've given all the publicity impact he's getting from me.
Please yourself. I must get into my hoops and ruff. See you later, Charles.
All right, bye-bye. Martin, I read your play.
Oh, did you? Well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it?
No, not at all. I thought some of the writing was very good.
Some of the writing? Thank you very much. What about the rest of the writing?
Well, what I meant was I thought the play was well written, but at times the themes are a bit overstated.
Went over the top, you mean?
Well, yes.
Well, life's over the top, isn't it? And shouldn't art reflect life?
Yes, some of the violence, too. I thought it was a bit...
gratuitous?
Well, perhaps.
Still reflecting life. We live with terrorist bombs and famines and the knowledge of it all being nuked in a few years.
Yes, well, I just found that the violence weakened the play's argument. I mean, the way you kept harping on about details of violence, all that business about building the bomb, and, well, I don't know. I just found it a bit...
disturbing.
If you like.
But that's the point. It's meant to be disturbing. That's what it says on the posters. Who now? A disturbing new play by Martin Warburton.
Yes, yes. Look, Martin, I know you're under a lot of strain at the moment.
Oh, yes?
Well, it's only to be expected. It is a very stressful time
don't
for you.
Don't patronise me.
No, I'm not. Well, at least I'm not intending to. Look, why don't we walk down to this reception together and then we can talk about what's worrying you and you can...
I'm not going to the reception.
No?
No. Certainly not dressing up as Bothwell. Remember what happened the last time I wore that costume?
Yes, but...
Don't want me murdering someone else, do we?
Oh, Anna. You are nice.
Not so bad yourself.
Old, though. Dirty old man, hmm? Rejuvenating myself on the blood of young virgins.
Hardly.
No.
We should get some sleep. We've both got shows opening tomorrow.
First night of the review for you. And for me, my first... Well, what do you call it for a lunchtime show?
First lunch?
I suppose so. Isn't much showbiz razzmatazz about that phrase, is there?
No. Are you nervous?
Yeah, a bit. It's daft, isn't it, at my age? Cynical old armadillo like me can still get nervous.
We ought to go to sleep.
Yes, I know. In a little while.
Huh? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Well, that's lovely. Do you think you could take one more poem?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, very well. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do one of my personal favourites. Now, I suppose you could regard this as Thomas Hood's version of Jaws. It's all about a shark. Sally Simpkins' Lament. Oh, what is this comes gliding in, and quite in middling haste? It is the picture of my Jones, and painted to the waist. It is not painted to the life, for where's the trousers blue? Oh, Jones, my dear, oh, dear, my Jones, what is become of you? Oh, Sally, dear, it's too true. The half that you remark is come to say my other half is bit off by a shark. Oh, Sally, sharks do things by halves, yet most completely do. A bite in one place seems enough, but I've been bit in two. You know I once was all your own, but now a shark must share. But let that pass, for now to you, I'm neither here nor there. Alas, death has a strange divorce effected in the sea. It has divided me from you, and even me from me. Don't fear my ghost will walk o' nights to haunt, as people say. My ghost can't walk, for oh, my legs are many leagues away. Lord, think when I'm swimming round and looking where the boat is, a shark just snaps away a half without a quarter's notice. One half is here, the other half is near Columbia placed. Oh, Sally, I have got the old Atlantic for my waist. But now, adieu, a long adieu. I've solved death's awful riddle, and would say more, but I am doomed to break off in the middle.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Charles, that was terrific. Really great.
Well, thank you, Mum.
Good house, too, for the first performance.
Yes, well, there's a lot of paper, you know. I recognise most of them from the Duds Company.
Doesn't matter. It was really great. Look, I've got a dash review rehearsal.
Oh, yes, Brown Derby. I hope it all goes well tonight. I'll be out front rooting for you.
Thanks. See you.
Yes.
Charles. Charles, that was quite delightful.
Oh, James, thank you. Thanks for coming.
No, a great revelation. I realise I knew nothing about Hood. I'd love to talk about him. Can I buy you lunch?
Well, it's a bit late, isn't it? It's after two. Everywhere will be closed.
No, there's an Indian place I know that'll be open. Oh, come along, Charles. I insist.
Well, thank you very much.
No, I just had no idea there was so much variety in his writing. I knew the obvious stuff. I remember, November, all that, but not the rest of it. I must get hold of a complete works of Hood. Is there a good edition?
Well, you can borrow mine if you like. I should know the words by now.
Oh, Charles, really? That is kind. I'll take good care of it.
Of course, I know you will.
Now, I found the show really exhilarating. I envy Hood's facility with words. Not just the facility, we all happen on puns occasionally, but his ability to create something out of it. Must be wonderful to be a writer.
Well, I'm not so sure. It was hard graft for Hood, you know. If he hadn't had to work so hard, he might have lived longer.
Yes, but at least it's congenial graft. I mean, writing, you're on your own. You get on with it. You don't have to keep getting involved with other people. You just write and send your stuff off and that's it. Sort of remote control way of making a living.
Oh, James, Hood wouldn't agree with you there. Do you know he spent his whole life scurrying round London, selling his own work, sub-editing other people's, setting up magazines? There's no question of remote control in what he called his livelihood. No, he was constantly involved with other people.
Ah, oh, disappointing. You mean to say that a writer's life can be just as sordid and ordinary as everybody else?
Oh, yes, if not more so.
It must sometimes get exciting. I mean, when the writing gets really involved, doesn't he begin to identify with his characters after a while?
Ah, well, inevitably that happens, of course.
I was wondering whether there could be anything like that behind this murder.
Anything like what?
Identification. Listen, Willie Mariello was playing David Rizzio in a play based on the life of Mary, Queen of Scots. Now, there are certain obvious parallels between Willie and Rizzio, as the Italian name for a start. Oh, I know there are plenty of Scots with Italian names, but it is a coincidence. Mm. Then there's the fact that they both played the guitar.
So what you're suggesting is that somebody might have become obsessed with the whole Mary Queen of Scots story and identified himself with Rizzio's murderer?
Well, it's a possible line of inquiry.
I suppose it could be. Incidentally, who did kill Rizzio?
A lot of people I seem to recall, but I think the prime mover was Darnley. Do you know who's playing Darnley in the Derby show?
No, I don't. But I could find out.
So, Charles, what's your cool professional assessment?
Of Brown Derby, simply the funniest review on the Fringe?
As it says on the poster, yes.
Oh, dear, cool professional assessment. Can you take it?
Yes.
Well, having just sat through simply the funniest review on the Fringe, I'm afraid I have to say I thought the show was terrible. Now, the show, that is. You, on the other hand, are good, really good.
Charles, I asked for your cool professional assessment.
Now, that was my cool professional assessment.
Sounds a bit biased to me.
Biased nothing. I may also happen to fancy you rotten, but I do genuinely believe you've got exceptional talent as an actress. Now, come and make love.
You've talked me into it.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Oh, happy times. Oh, happy rhymes. Forever ye are gone by. Few now, if any, are the lays can make me smile or sigh. Oh, but you're one of the manner. You can make me smile and sigh.
I don't think Thomas Hood meant lay that way.
I don't think he did.
Incidentally, I hope you took in what I was saying at lunchtime.
Hmm?
I really did think your show was good.
Thank you. Mutual Admiration Society.
Do you really think I'm good?
Not in bed?
No.
Yes, I do think you're good.
Good enough to make it in the professional theatre?
Yes.
In spite of all you said about needing to be tough and calculating and needing lots of help.
Well, I'll help you, Anna.
Gosh, it's crowded in here, isn't it?
Well, the Traverse Bar's always crowded, Pam, particularly during the festival. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for asking me to come out.
Getting fairly claustrophobic down at the house, isn't it?
Yes, but I mean thanks, because it's kind of you. I know you're only doing it because you feel sorry for me.
Well, what do you mean?
You're just being kind, taking me out of myself. I know I'm not very attractive, not like some of the others, not like Anna.
Oh, come on, now what's that got to do with it? I mean, I don't mean that you aren't attractive, but can't I just ask somebody out for a drink because I enjoy their company?
I never used to realise how important being pretty was. When I lived at home, my parents kept saying I was all right. And I suppose I believed them. Then, when I went to Derby, all that was taken away. What you looked like was the only thing that mattered. And I was ugly.
Oh, I wouldn't say...
You had to have a man.
Or at least fancy a man?
Yes. A frustrated romance was better than nothing. You had to assert yourself, sort of sexually. You know what I mean?
Yes, have a sexual identity. At best, a lover. At worst, an idol. Public figure, maybe.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I think you do. When you first mentioned Willie Mariello, there was something strange in the way you spoke about him.
Oh, I hardly...
Did you love him, Pam?
No. Well, not really. It was just... Oh, I don't know. All this pressure about sex. And then he and the band came up to play at the Union, and I met him. And Puce were fairly well known, so he was a rock star. Mm.
Potent symbol.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of the other girls in the Hall of Residence thought he was marvellous and bought posters of him, and it's terrible emotional immaturity, I know. But I am emotionally immature, thanks to a middle-class upbringing. It was just a schoolgirl crush.
Did you know him well?
No. That's what makes it so pathetic. I mean, I knew him to say hello to, but nothing more. He didn't notice me.
I'm intrigued about Willie. You know, who he was involved with, how he actually came to be in the show.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that.
Tell me, Pam, what did you feel about Willie when you knew he was dead?
Shock, mainly. I mean, I'd never seen a dead body before.
But no sense of loss?
Not really. What I felt for him wasn't real love, just something I'd built up in my mind. In a way, his death got it out my system. Anyway, I hadn't really felt the same about him after that business with Leslie.
Leslie
Petter. You know, who had the accident. Whose lunchtime slot you've taken over.
Oh, yes, the Leslie who Anna was understudying.
That's right.
What happened?
I haven't mentioned this to anyone, but it may be nothing. Just the way it seemed.
What?
It was after we'd been up here about a week. Willie suddenly started to take an interest in Leslie.
Sexual interest?
Yes, she's very pretty too. Anyway, one evening, after we'd been rehearsing, we were all having coffee back at the house. Willie said he fancied a walk up to the castle and did anyone want to come with him? Well, I said yes, sort of straight off, because, you know, I still thought he was marvellous at that time. But then I realised he'd only made the general invitation as a kind of prearranged signal to Leslie. It was meant to be just the two of them.
Oh, dear.
I was awfully embarrassed, but I said I'd go, and it would have been even more awkward to suddenly say I couldn't. So the three of us set off, and I dawdled or went ahead, just wishing like anything I wasn't there. Well, we walked up to the castle esplanade, and on the way back I was feeling such a gooseberry that I went on ahead. I started off down those steep steps that lead to Johnston Terrace. Do you know where I mean?
Oh, yes.
Well, I was nearly at the bottom, when suddenly I heard this scream. I turned round and saw Leslie with her arms and legs flailing, falling down the steps.
And that was how she broke her leg?
Yes. I rushed up to her and Willie rushed down. She was in terrible pain and I shot off to phone for an ambulance. But just before I went, I heard her say something to Willie. Or at least I think I did.
What did she say?
She said, "Willie, you pushed me."
I'm afraid visiting's nearly over, sir.
I won't be long.
It's that bed over there.
Aye, thank you, nurse.
The bell goes in about 5 minutes, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon. Are you Leslie Petter?
Yes.
Well, I'm Charles Paris.
Oh!
How's the leg?
Oh, mending, the doctors say. Mending at a normal pace. Seems very slow to me. You've taken over my lunchtime spot, haven't you?
Yes, yes, it's an ill wind. Without your accident, I'd still be sitting in London, resting.
How's the show going?
Oh, not so bad. Reasonable house today.
It's about Thomas Hood, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, I'm really here for a purpose.
Oh, of course. I can't think what purpose of yours could involve me.
No, well, maybe it doesn't involve you. It's just, I don't know, something... You know, your group, Duds, there's something strange going on there.
It must seem strange to an outsider.
Oh, yes, but I expected that. I mean, as a middle-aged man in a bunch of 20-year-olds. No, I meant strange in... Well, there's Willie Mariello's death.
Yes, that was terrible.
And, of course, your accident.
Yes. Ooh, someone must have whistled in the dressing room or had real flowers on stage or quoted from the Scottish play.
You know them all. Do you want to go into the theatre, professionally?
I did, but I don't know how good I am as an actress. I've done parts that have been okay, but the thing I'm really good at is dancing. That's why I was so excited about my Isadora Duncan show, the one that should have been in the lunchtime slot. And would have been in the lunchtime slot if I hadn't.
Oh, get another chance to do that.
Maybe. With this leg, though.
That'll be all right.
Yeah. Yes, of course it will.
But now you must be a better actress than you're saying. I mean, to be playing Mary and doing the review as well.
I saw Anna got nice notices for the review.
Yes, yes. Yes, I gather she did. Well, understudy gets lucky, eh?
I think she'll be better than I would have been in Mary, too.
Oh, who knows? As I said, it's an ill wind.
Yes.
Leslie, did Willie Mariello push you down those steps?
What? No. No,
Why should he?
You sure he didn't? You see, I heard a rumour to the contrary.
People shouldn't spread rumours. Listen, Willie's dead. And my leg's broken. I mean, there's nothing that can be done about either. Does it matter?
Well, yes, it does. Did he push you?
I don't know. To be quite honest, I don't know. I was confused when it happened, when I fell down the steps. I suppose I turned on the nearest person. I don't know. I mean, would he do something like that? What had he possibly got to gain?
Oh, well, Willie was capable of it. He was a lout. Oh.
You'll have to be going.
Leslie?
Look, if he did do it, I'm sure it was just high spirits or horseplay or...
You mean he did do it?
I don't know.
Did Willie Mariello push you down those steps?
Yes. Yes, he did.
In part three of So Much Blood, Francis Matthews was Charles Paris. James Milne, Alan McNaughton, Anna Duncan, Kim Thompson, Pam Northcliffe, Sarah Corper, Martin Warburton, Michael Maloney, Leslie Petter, Leslie Manville. So Much Blood was adapted from his book by Simon Brett and produced by Martin Fisher.